The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
We can build a Keystone Pipeline, creating thousands of temporary and millions of permanent jobs.
If we do this, we'd see the equivalent of 8 new coal-fired plants, and those are dirty. 8 new coal-fired plants, that's the equivalent of what we would be getting here in terms of the carbon pollution.
Barbara Boxer says no way, this is her final stand. She lost her bid for re-election, the longtime senator from California, probably the most liberal senator of them all on the Hill. And then you heard Mary Landrieu before that. It's all about the Keystone Pipeline. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney and welcome to America Tonight. Yeah, one vote made a difference, baby. Landrieu probably's got to pack up her boxes now. December 6th, not looking good. Can you believe it? One vote is what she was missing. She said they're going to have to exercise that muscle again. So this debate over the pipeline, Landrieu, Democrat, says 40,000 new jobs. She's from a state. Oil and gas heavily feeds into that economy. And a lot of people didn't like some of the politics of the administration, so that was weighing down on her. And this idea of the Trans-Canada's fully operational pumping and going Keystone Pipeline system is just sitting there waiting to be had, waiting for approval to finish construction on 1,200 miles of pipeline, which is the Keystone XL. It's the final piece, if you will, of the 3,800-mile pipeline network. So it's just really under a third of the project, and every other piece of pipe has been built and laid out. There's already hundreds of thousands of barrels of crude oil from the Canadian oil sands that are going right now, that are being shipped across the U.S. border and into Illinois. Now, the current proposal would run the pipeline through Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Environmentalists' biggest complaint, you heard Boxer talk about that there, over the pipeline, since extracting crude oil from the oil sands pumps, I guess, about 17% more, they say, greenhouse gases into the air than whatever your standard crude oil extraction process is. This was one of the big environmental concerns. But that's not the only thing that prompted the environmentalists to protest the pipeline. So Senator Landrieu was pushing and saying, I'm for these jobs, I'm for this pipeline. Doesn't matter that she was a Democrat. In fact, in jest, somebody put an inflatable pipeline on her front yard. It all worked out in the end for Cassidy, the congressman from Louisiana, who is in this runoff with Mary Landrieu. Probably for her, she's toast, although until you have the actual runoff, you don't know for sure. So the State Department, because I was re-looking at this, the State Department says the pipeline would inject $2 billion in total economic benefits, $2 billion. And they also concluded in the beginning of the year that the project would create about 42,000 jobs directly and even indirectly during the whole construction phase. So jobs, construction jobs, building the pipeline, you know, that whole thing. So either way, the State Department's conclusion was that it would seriously undercut TransCanada's claim that the project would create about 140,000 direct and indirect jobs. Remember, because initially when this came out, it was like, there's going to be a million jobs. But that was from Canada, not from the U.S. Not from the U.S. And so the proposals there, the processes, the procedures, the systems, all that kind of stuff. And What's interesting is, and what I based my opinion on when I looked at this years ago, this isn't recently, was that the State Department's own findings and even environmental findings concluded that the pipeline proposal, how it sits with everything in place, the systems, the whole thing, that the risk of an oil spill wasn't very high. And even people who slant in the direction of being cautious were backing it until we had the environmentalists jump all over it and ignore some of the research that had already been done and asked for a reprieve. And because of the Democrats who were running, especially in the previous midterm election, not just the latest ones, they didn't want to have that tampered with. They want the juju out there to mess with their role over a pipeline, so it's convenient to sack it, and that's what happened. But, you know, this is the deal. Once you sack something, then getting it back and breathing new life into it and having these conversations and going through the procedural hurdles is really not a walk in the park, which is why the president knew that with the whole Affordable Care Act. Get it through, and that was their idea, get it through, and even if it's stuffed more than a Thanksgiving Day turkey, we'll be able to pick things out of it, but it's so tough to get anything passed on this front, let's just throw it in. But then you see what happens. It's, you know, you're bogged down in procedural hurdles and problems, and, you know, it's nothing but problems more than smooth sailing, and then sometimes it makes it an even harder proposition, which I think the Keystone Pipeline would be fine, but you have to get the votes there, and you're probably looking at a presidential veto, most likely. Sadly, we'll be talking about this, the reaction to the attack in Jerusalem. I think that it's horrifying to learn the specifics of the people who were involved. Five people died. Three were American rabbis. So Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed that he's going to respond pretty harshly after the five people were killed in that synagogue by two Palestinians who had meat cleavers, an axe and a gun. They had meat cleavers going after, just brazenly going after anybody who got in their way. I mean, it was incredibly violent. And there have been a lot of these clashes between the Arabs and the Jews, and it's just deteriorating and getting worse and worse and worse. So four of the dead were rabbis. One was a police officer who died of his wounds hours after the attack. The three rabbis were born in the U.S., the fourth in England, by the way. The U.S. victims were Moshe Twersky, Ari Kapinski, and Kamen Levine. What's significant here is Twersky is the grandson of a renowned rabbi from Boston who was the head of a religious seminary for English-speaking students. His father actually founded the Center for Jewish Studies at Harvard, and they have a long history of contributing to the Boston area and the things that they do there, obviously. So thousands of people went to a joint funeral for all before sundown that was held just outside of the synagogue where the attack happened during morning prayers. Awful. Earlier, they had just blood streaked across the floors, in the books, on the prayer books, the shawls, everything. Awful, awful stuff. They're still searching for other suspects and telling people to stay inside. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
On the Hill, more finger pointing, and a lot of that had to do with the Keystone Pipeline, which we just talked about. And then reaction to the attack that that happened in Jerusalem, we talked about it as it happened on our last show, the terror attack on that synagogue, just horrific. The images inside of it that were finally released, shredded vestments of what the rabbis wore and bodies in the sanctuary, and the blood splattered all over the books, which to me is the prayer books, which is just endemic of what now has happened with the Palestinians and the Israelis. And I don't blame Netanyahu. I would want the eye for the eye and tooth for sure after this. And here you've got innocents involved, three American-born rabbis who were there learning and sharing and were simply at morning prayers. It goes back to that same thing of where are our sacred places anymore, where you just could not have that happen. You wouldn't have something like that happen. And sure enough, that was the idea. Give me the axe, give me the meat cleaver, give me the shock and surprise of it all, and who's going to be able to respond quickly enough? And that's it. It's me with all my weapons and you with nothing, trying to fight me back. And even that police officer dies in trying to save as many people as he could. And thank goodness, in one sense, he was a hero because he let a lot of people escape. But some terrifying, terrifying moments, minutes that ticked by for all those people that were also in there, by the way, because there was a lot of people that were attacked. They just didn't die. And It was sad to see those pictures, frankly. Very, very sad. The other third part of this, and then ultimately the fourth part probably later this week, but not for sure. You know, you can never say what a grand jury is going to do. We can handicap it all day long. I would have thought their decision would have already been in. But in Ferguson, they're still waiting for the grand jury decision on whether or not there was enough to move forward to charge the cop, the white cop who shot 18-year-old Michael Brown. Is Darren Wilson going to face charges or not? And they're weighing that decision. And there's a couple of different things that they could do, that they could choose from: finding no probable cause to charging him with murder. And it may happen this week. The thought is it might happen. That's why everybody's gearing up to make sure there's enough law enforcement, and then the protesters are making sure that their pipeline is clear enough that they can get word out as soon as they know anything. And the most serious offense, of course, would be first-degree murder, but the prosecutor would have to show that Wilson killed Brown, wouldn't only have to show that, which isn't at a dispute at all, have to prove that he did so after deliberating on that whole matter. So if Wilson is charged and eventually found guilty of first-degree murder, he would face up to life in prison without parole or even death if the death penalty was sought. I can't imagine that. I just don't think they're going to have enough and they're going to push it forward. I don't think that they're going to do that. You know, the other thing is they could do an involuntary manslaughter when someone causes the death of another by being reckless, but what would that mean? He didn't mean to kill him because he didn't take the precautions not to do it? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Involuntary manslaughter conviction would be easier, but it doesn't make sense that they would use that necessarily in this case. If he was found guilty, he could be sentenced to no more than 7 years in prison. No more than 7 years. I think that Ferguson will definitely explode when the decision is handed out, and I would be stunned if Wilson faces anything, if he faces anything for this. All right, let's go to Grim. Hey, Grim, you're up. What's up?
I told you that we should have had Israel go in there and take care of it. You know, I typed all this out. I wrote it down to a T, and just a little background. I've got 13 years offshore experience, 4 years in the service. I worked alongside military intelligence. And then I majored in architecture, minored in accounting, and computer science. So, you know, there's a little bit of gray matter there between my ears. And I even wrote down that Obama was going to stop sending them the weapons they need to have the protective dome. Because my father, he was an engineer, one of the 30 engineers that started the Titan missile program in Denver.
Wow.
So, you know, I use him. He's my biggest reference.
Yeah. Wow, Titan missiles. I saw a Titan missile launch because they're supposed to be secret. You're not supposed to know that when you're in the media. But I used to work in television in near Lompoc, the Vandenberg Air Force Base, and they launched some Titans from there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're
I guess they're cool.
They're sitting in silos, ready to go.
Yeah. That's funny that you make that reference. Wow. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you know, I don't think we got to worry. I think Israel, after this incident, they may be, you know, considering joining up with Jordan. And
after this. Absolutely.
If you're a trained combat troop, and, you know, I don't care whether you're French, German, who it is, because I work with them, British. If you want to, go sign up for the Israeli army. That's what I say.
Yeah, and the Israeli army, too, the cool thing is, thanks, Grim, is that they automatically, you have to serve unless there's a reason, some kind of physical ailment or whatever, but otherwise everybody has to serve. I have a friend, one of my best friends growing up in New Jersey, she moved to Israel, and both of her kids had to serve. Daughter and son had to serve. Dan is listening to us in the great state of Texas. Hello, Dan.
Hello, darling. Listen, I want to talk to you a little bit. I may be setting off a race riot here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why is it that black people, my brothers, my sisters in Christ, will burn down their own buildings, burn down other people's buildings, cause riots, cause all kinds of trouble when they don't get their way on something? I mean, let's face it. This young man that is a police officer was under attack in his car by Brown and that other little thug that dropped into that Korean store, ripped off those cigars, and then intimidated the little Korean. And then they went back and burned down his building, the blacks did, and all that because he got his just desserts for attempting to insult an officer with force. And now if they don't get to hang a white officer who defended himself and tried to arrest Brown for his illegal actions, they now are going to cause riots? No. I think the white people and the Asian people and the Mexican people and the Filipino people and everybody else of every nationality, including Martians and maybe aliens from another country, should protest this dirty, rotten routine that they got going with a news media keeps spanning it and trying to create a situation where we actually do have race riots. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Are they a lesser people by pulling off this kind of activity? I say, wait a minute. You're judged by your actions and the people you associate with, and I am done.
Wow, Dan, you know, boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, I agree with some of what you said, not the part about he got his just desserts, because I don't think that 18-year-old should have been shot and killed. I don't think the officer wanted that to happen. If you asked him, I guarantee if he and I were sitting there having a conversation without all of the world listening, taping and monitoring every syllable that he uttered, he would say the same thing. I don't think that that is what he wanted to happen. And he, absolutely, you know, you look at a situation that I don't understand, which many other orators who are more skilled in this area, this is where they work, but I've had these conversations. Why do you do that? Why is there an extremist who screws up and you have good people who want to protest and they should be able to protest because they don't like what happened and they protest? Why do you have to have some extremist come in and rip things up and race bait and roll out the whole race card thing? And the problem is, Dan, and you know this too, you obviously have this on both ends, and that creates the problem. So you have that on the white end and you have that on the black end, and now this has made Ferguson the recipe for it, which is, I just don't understand. It's awful that this has happened. Hang with us, Ivan Elin, next.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, a natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules. Now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body. Normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just the ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126-serving three-square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale price at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guy's Fall Chili Special. Always free shipping to the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the Fall Chili Special and three-square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available for long-term storage, period.
News flash. Home invasions are on the rise. It takes less than 10 seconds to kick in a door, but an average of 20 minutes for police to respond to an alarm. Even if you own a gun, 10 seconds is not enough time to protect your family. And what would happen to your family if you're not home? Easy Armor is the ultimate security solution. 85% of break-ins are through a door. Easy Armor reinforces all the key weak points on your door. The jam, the lock area, and the hinges. If these areas aren't reinforced, you're not safe. Easy Armor has been tested and recommended by police. You can install Easy Armor in 30 minutes, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. Protect your home now with Easy Armor. Go to InvasionStopper.com to get real security for under $70. That's InvasionStopper.com. Easy Armor. Your security is our only business.
Our pal Ivan Eland is in our virtual green room right now. He's a senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. He did one of his pieces for the Huffington Post, and the headline really grabbed me. And the headline said this, folks. So just think about this headline for a second. Is Obama weak on foreign policy? Right? So what do you think? Or do you think the president is weak on foreign policy? If you read Ivan's piece, you'll find not so fast. Ivan, thanks for coming on as always. And do you think there is this natural slant, especially for the Republicans, to say, oh, yeah, he's terrible on foreign policy, but yet when you dig further and you look at and review the years, you'll find that that's not necessarily the case?
Well, he certainly can't be, characterized as weak by historical standards in the U.S. Because he's taken a lot of military action. He overthrew Muammar Gaddafi with our allies, with air power. He surged in Afghanistan. He's reentered the Iraq War. And, of course, extended the bombing into Syria. He expanded George Bush's drone wars, in Yemen, Pakistan, and Somalia. And he also, of course, authorized the raid that captured and killed bin Laden. And, of course, Bush didn't focus on bin Laden, while Iraq was going south and all that. So I think that's also a factor. And then you look at the Russian and the Chinese theaters in China. He's countering a rising China by beefing up alliances and military presence in East Asia. And he's also doing the same thing in Europe now that Russia is acting up. And Russia, you can't really do too much when Russia does something like this, because Russia still has thousands of nuclear warheads, and I don't even, the Republicans are smart enough not to advocate taking any military action against Russia either. So I'm not sure, you know, where they're coming with the weakness. I think, you know, a couple presidents like Eisenhower, who are not perceived as weak, they took much less military action than Obama. Reagan took much less military action than Obama. And so I think, and of course, Reagan has the most macho image since Theodore Roosevelt, I think. So, you know, presidents are not necessarily doing what their reputations are saying. So, you know, public perceptions can be a bit skewed because people go on rhetoric, politicians' rhetoric, if they believe the politicians, what the other opponents are saying, if it sticks, so to speak, then that's the image of the president. If it doesn't stick, then the president can form his own public image.
Yeah, do you think that's because, as you're saying, that rhetoric that sticks, is it what have you done for me lately? So the thing that you hear the loudest is the thing that you remember?
Yeah, to some extent. And I also think things get twisted, like the Syrian situation where he was threatening to take military action. And then that caused the Russians to get a deal where Assad got rid of his chemical weapons. So, and yet this was seen as weakness. And I'm thinking, well, but the outcome was good. So, and he didn't have to use force. And in you know, Napoleon and great military strategists such as Napoleon, he said that, you know, you basically, if you don't have to fight your enemy, if you can outmaneuver him or take other action, you've won, right? That's the pinnacle of strategy, right? If you don't even have to fight the enemy. And of course, but we've gotten to this macho thing now where we have to fight everybody. And in certain cases, and I would argue that this is true in Iraq and Syria, we should do even less than Obama is doing and just let our enemies fight each other. Iran and Syria and Hezbollah on the one side and ISIS and Al-Qaeda on the other side. You know, we don't have I wouldn't characterize Obama's in the statesman category of the Bismarck variety, where Bismarck would, of course, stayed out of it and let his enemies fight each other. But I know Obama's taking a lot of pressure from the Republicans and others, even in the Democratic Party, to do more. But I think that's a symptomatic of our post-World War II idea that we should be in every conflict and, you know, trying to get the outcome for whatever side we're rooting for at the time. But I think, you know, the founders of the country had a much more restrained tradition of military, using military power. And, of course, that was the tradition for most of our history, with a few exceptions until World War II. And then, of course, we became the world's policeman. And now we can't really afford that role anymore. And I think we're going to have to stand back on some of these things and let other countries take the lead. And in this case, in ISIS case, I think we ought to let Turkey and Saudi Arabia, those countries, take the lead.
Yeah, don't you think it's interesting? The president is always quoted as saying, especially in this past month, if you look back how many times he said, you know, no boots on the ground when we're talking about the coalition and ISIS. But yet you have General, you know, Martin Dempsey, who is suggesting that they're not completely ruling out that possibility. Is that just to kick the door open and keep the heat off of the president, so to speak, in case they decide, all right, we're going to have to put boots on the ground? Because I don't think the American people could stomach that.
Well, I don't either. And I think the military is, you know, trying to hold that door open. And I think Obama's trying to close it. So I think Obama has butted heads with the generals, and I don't think he longer trusts them too much after the Afghanistan surge and that sort of thing. So I think he's now keeping control. Presidents a lot of times come into office, like John F. Kennedy, and they're too trusting of the security bureaucracies. And then, of course, they realize that their bureaucracy is like anything else. And so they have very vested interests, and they may go overboard in doing whatever they want to do. And so I think Obama's kind of pushing back on that and trying to close the door. The problem that you have these types of situations. I mean, LBJ knew that Vietnam was a quagmire, and he didn't want to escalate it either. But, of course, he felt political pressure to do so from Bobby Kennedy and the right, Republican right. And so he ended up doing it, and it was, of course, a massive disaster. And I think that's the pressure you're under here. If these airstrikes are not going to eliminate ISIS, so you have to get a ground force. Well, where are you going to get that? The Syrian, our Syrian forces being attrited by daily by Assad on purpose, you know, the Kurds and the Iraqis. The Iraqis fled even after years and years and years of U.S. training, and the Kurds also had problems. And, of course, they've been trained and equipped as well by the U.S. indirectly. And so, you know, we don't have local forces, so we then have to say, well, where's the regional forces? Turkey, Saudi Arabia. Well, they're unwilling to – they're standing back and letting us do it. And, of course, so – you know, we need ground forces to root these people out, and who's going to provide them? Well, we now have our prestige on the line because we've done these unproductive airstrikes, I would argue even counterproductive airstrikes. And so then there's pressure to put ground troops in, and that's how, you know, we escalate up the line as we did in Vietnam. We first had air and advisors in, as we do now, and then, of course, they eventually had to escalate it with huge amounts of ground forces. And so these things take on a life of their own. And Obama may be genuinely saying, well, this is not going to happen because the public is not going to support it. But it may happen anyway. We have a volunteer army, so we don't have the pressures against doing things like this that we had during Vietnam.
Yeah, and counterproductive airstrikes, how so? Why do you think they're counterproductive? Because of the cost and because of what ISIS has done as a result of that?
Well, you can rarely kill your way out of these insurgencies. You kill the leader, even if they had gotten Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS. There's going to be more people to replace him. And in the hothouse of war, it's a sort of an evolutionary hothouse where they were even more ruthless and capable leaders, you know, survive and thrive, and so you may get somebody worse. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't disrupt them in the short term, but in the long term, most of these insurgencies, they're fueled by underlying grievances, and of course, the underlying grievance in Iraq is that the Sunni, that the Shiite government that we put in power there oppressed the Sunnis after years of, you know, Saddam Hussein and other Sunni rulers oppressing the Shiites. So it's sort of payback for the Saddam Hussein days. But nevertheless, the Sunnis really fear the Shiite government more than they do ISIS. And that's why ISIS is getting the support. So I would say, since Iraq is already partitioned effectively into three parts, what you should do is probably recognize that. And if you do that and let the Sunnis have their own autonomous role, I think they would kick the Sunnis tribes would kick ISIS out very quickly because they no longer fear the Shiite central government is going to impress them because they rule autonomously in their own area. So I think, of course, they threw out al-Qaeda, the precursor group, to ISIS. And, of course, ISIS is even more brutal. So these brutal groups eventually usually get thrown out because they're just so nasty and everyone is sick of all this beheading and summary executions and the other stuff that they're doing. So I think we should probably just let nature take its course. And, you know, these airstrikes are probably making more fighters because they inadvertently kill civilians. And what you want to do is you want to drive a wedge between the civilians and ISIS and make them oppose them. And I think I think partitioning Iraq, or actually recognizing that the partition already exists and Iraq is no longer a viable country. I've been saying this for years, but I think now it's probably the only solution out of this. But the airstrikes, if you don't have ground forces, these fighters, they just go into the cities, and then what do? You have to either bomb civilian areas, which creates more fighters, or you have to have a ground force, a viable ground force, to go in there. And a local ground force is actually better than U.S. troops because they know the language, the culture, and they can get more intelligence on who's in the guerrillas and who's not.
Yeah, I agree. Ivan Elin, we got to fly. Great stuff.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
For all our loyal listeners, it's time for another giveaway. Over the next 30 days, our friends at SupernaturalSilver.com are giving away six 16-ounce Supernatural Silver liquid valued at nearly $100 per bottle, or their skin and body gel priced at $49.98. All you have to do is enter and win at GCNLive.com. Hurry, contest ends December 5th. GCN can give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with the Supernatural Silver giveaway at GCNLive.com.
Did the NFL get it right by suspending Adrian Peterson? I'm the Sports Princess. That's next on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Boost Kit Essentials Nutritionally Complete Drink, providing your picky eater with essential nutrition and great taste in one drink. Visit us at kitessentials.com. To make sure your kids eat healthy, follow the 5-a-day plan. Serve 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit daily. Remember, a serving could just mean a piece of fruit or a half cup of veggies. If your kids are picky eaters, ask a nutritionist about other sources. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
An arbitrator ruled in favor of the NFL on Tuesday, sealing the deal to keep Adrian Peterson off the field this season, but allowing the NFL to keep him on the commissioner's exempt list. Earlier in the day, Peterson was suspended without pay for at least the remainder of the season. The Viking star running back argued that he should have been reinstated from the exempt list as soon as there was a resolution in his child abuse case, which happened with his no-contest plea in the beginning of November. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell released a letter that said Peterson does not fully appreciate the seriousness of his conduct, but not so fast. The NFL Players Association announced that it plans to appeal Peterson's suspension and sharply criticized what it called the league's inconsistency and unfairness in the process. For now, Peterson is not eligible for reinstatement until April of 2015. I'm the Sports Princess, and that's Sports Shorts.
Now time for the
weekly installment of Nail the Score.
Yeah, can you believe it? Time for Nail the Score. I know we got our computer there at the mothership somewhere. It might have to get some snow off the box. And they might have had to put it outside. More room for heaters just in case. Matt, let it rip. Oh, my, oh, my. Can we do that one more time? So a few football games left. We want to make sure it's a good one, right? If we can somehow stack the deck. So the game that the computer has chosen, believe it or not, I love the music in the background, is this one, the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Late game, kicks at 4:05 East Coast time. And you think the Seahawks at 6-4, not the Seahawks they once were. This is at home, however. They have been beaten at home, and they can be beaten again. If there is a team that could do it, it's the Cardinals. My goodness, I already said this, 9-1. This is a crazy game to look at. You know, part of me says, do I really want to go against the Cardinals? But with the woes of the Seahawks, are they going to lose again at home? I don't know. Pretty tough. So you can register a guest now until the top of the hour at 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. I am going to go with the Seahawks. I say the Seahawks do it. 27-24 is the final score. Matt, what do you think? I think this is kind of a tough game in a way.
I think it's definitely a tough game, but I think it'll be a lot lower scoring than you think it will be. Not a ton, though, but yeah, but I think it's going to be a lot more field goals, not as many touchdowns. And just to be a little different than you, I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win. I'll go 2016 Cardinals.
All right, 2016 Cardinals. So Matt has the Cardinals. I have the Seahawks. By the way, you can grab our guesses if you want to. It's very easy. Just call me at 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Or if you send me an email at americatonight.net, americatonight.net, before the top of the hour, you'll get your guests in just in time. And we always have a bunch. I'm sorry, I'll try to go to as many as I can. Usually that's what happens is we run out of time. But your guests will definitely count. Don't worry. If you get it in, it's very easy. I will make sure that it counts. You will be locked, duly noted, whatever word you want to use. All right, Dan in Texas, he usually gives us a good guess. Dan, who are you going with? Are you going with the Cardinals or are you going with the Seahawks?
I'm going with the Redbirds. 31-24 over the Chicken Hawks. Pardon me. Freudian slip.
I like that. Redbirds, 31-24. So you think high scoring like me? All right, Dano, you are in there. So we got a couple now for the Cards. It's hard. I really have enjoyed watching the Cards this season, and it's tough to. It was tough for me to pick against them, but just yeah, my gut tells me Seahawks. All right, Grim, what do you say? Do you say Seahawks or Cardinals?
Seahawks. I'm in disagreement with Dan with this. Everything else, I agree with him.
There you go. Okay, so what do you think? What do you think the final score is?
42 Seahawks, 27 Cards.
Ooh, so yeah, the Seahawks are due to break out. If they're going to break out, it's going to be at home in front of their crowd. Thanks, Grim. It's going to be in front of their crowd. I mean, that's when they're probably going to do it. I didn't give it much of a chance to have that much of a spread. I thought it would be closer, 27-24, but I still really believe that we're going to see a pretty decent game. That's why it's hard to pick this one, too. You can crunch the stats all you want to, but in the end, you know, it's, I hate the cliches in sports. I do. But they're there for a reason. It's that whole any given Sunday, just because one game is so lopsided doesn't mean the next game, you know, boomerang back. And we've seen that all season long this year in the NFL. I mean, here we are at week 12. Think about it. Can you believe it? That 17 games, that's the regular season. That's what we're up against. And here we are at week 12. And there are some patterns we could point to, but there are a lot of things that didn't make sense. And we saw that last week. And we've seen it every single week. I could point to games every single week where even the nail the score games that, wow, would you really have thought that would be the score? I mean, even last Thursday, the Dolphins beating the Bills, not so much that they beat them, but 22-9 when the Dolphins were nowhere in that in the first half, and then they flipped that one around. Or the Texans and the Browns. The Texans 23 and the Browns 7, and the Browns had some pretty good runs against some tall opponents. And then, you know, here they are at home, and they, nothing. Couldn't do anything there. And then the Seahawks, I mentioned the Seahawks, they lost. Now, the Chiefs were at home, and the Chiefs are not a slouchy football team, but 24-20, Smith shown again, you know, why, once he basically was booted from San Francisco, how he was the right person for the Chiefs. Because you forget they're 4-1 at home, 7-3. And then you had, I think, some other games that, you know, the Packers should have beaten the Eagles, but 53-20, even with Mark Sanchez in. Patriots beating the Colts, I think he would have picked the Patriots, even though it was in Indy, but 42-20. I don't think I would have picked that score if I was trying to nail that. And, of course, the Cardinals, more importantly, are coming off of a win over the Lions. 14-6, though, was the score in that one. And now they're taking on the Seahawks, and I think the Seahawks have every reason to be amped up and prove that, yeah, we won the Super Bowl last year, so we belong here. Got a couple of people who have emailed me. Remember, that's the route. You still have a few minutes. AmericaTonight.net. This one from Jake the Snake all of a sudden in Austin, because I think that's Jake in Austin. He says, no way did the Seahawks lose this week again. I think the Seahawks win it. The final score is 21-10. And then this one from Helpful Hints, there's got to be a story there. Helpful Hints says it's all about the Seahawks, Katie Kate. I know people like the Cardinals, but oh, where has Carson Palmer gone? We know injury can wreak havoc, right? And with this team, eventually it's going to show up, and I think this game will really see it. The final score, 40-21 Seahawks. Wow. That may be the biggest spread of all of them. Good luck to everyone who tried to nail the score.
Receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact.
back with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.